Chapter 2, and then we're going to read a passage and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Ephesians chapter 2, and last week I've talked about peace, and if you remember, and the peace of God, peace with God, and so this week I want to talk about peace, but I want to talk about peace in the body. And the body of Christ, and why there's no body of Christ. And when I say we talk about peace, we talk about it being quietness and restfulness, peace. And you look at the body of Christ today, and you don't find that peace that's in the body. There's wars going on in the body. And there's people trying to outdo one another in the body. And it shouldn't be that way. Now, we're part of the body of Christ. And we come together and we fellowship together. Our fellowship in this church and in the body should not be based upon nothing but belief in what thus saith the Lord. It shouldn't be based upon salary. It shouldn't be based upon how much somebody has or the kind of clothes they wear or nothing like that. No physical, nothing physical should determine fellowship in a church. Your fellowship is determined in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come together here. We should have no respect to persons. We should not respect somebody that might have more than we have. Or we should have no disrespect for somebody that don't have what we have. And we should not dislike somebody because of the way they look or the way they act. Our fellowship is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our fellowship should be based upon what we believe from the Scripture. And the reason why churches don't have fellowship, they don't know what to believe. And when you get down to it and you begin to discuss what they believe, they don't want to have fellowship with you. Now, what is fellowship? Well, I like Brother Moore's definition of fellowship as fellows in a ship. That's a pretty good definition. You say, why is that? Well, everybody's in unity on that boat. That boat's, everybody's going the same direction that boat's going. There ain't nobody pulling against that boat, keeping it from going. It's going fellows in a ship. And so we have fellowship. We're all in the boat together, so to speak. And we're all trying to go the right way, but inside that ship, there can be some problems. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, and notice Paul talking about to the book of church at Ephesus. But look in verse, let's read verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. They didn't have that hope that Robbie's talking about. Having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh. Both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now I want to talk to you. Now I want you to notice in verse 14, for he is our peace who hath made both. Well, how many is both? What does that mean? That'd be two, wouldn't it? Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain. How many is that? Two. Twain, one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. That'd be two too, wouldn't it? For through him we both. Now you can't read all that and not realize there's two groups of people Paul's talking about. You understand? And something divided them groups that caused them not to have peace. Anything that divides, you can't have peace. Now we know what a wall is. You put a wall, it's a partition, it's a separator, it's a divider. You make a room out of it, and you put walls around something, and you use that for some specific reason. And all this, everything's got, as you know, we wall of petition. There's something that divided these people. Now, what is that wall? Well, look back in the passage. He said in verse 14, "For he is our peace, who had made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of petition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Well, that wall is ordinances that was put upon some people, and they kept them ordinances. Now turn back with me to Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, notice this. Acts 15. In verse 1, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So they added circumcision. You got to be circumcised, you can't be saved. And they're teaching the brethren. So they're teaching somebody. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question." Now where were they that they come down? They came down to Antioch. And they're teaching the church there in Antioch. You got to be circumcised or you can't be saved. It'd be like some Carmelites coming here and start teaching you, you got to be baptized or you cannot be saved. If you ain't been baptized, you're not saved. Now, we'd have a little dissension, wouldn't we? There wouldn't be peace there, would there? Now, the Bible said, come on. Wherefore, Paul and Barnabas, and they come on down. Verse 3, "And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, and declaring declaring the conversions of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. So they go up there, and Peter, and they have a council at Jerusalem. Peter, James, and all them's up there. So finally they meet there, and look what he said. They write a letter to them, verse 23. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brothers send greetings unto the brethren, which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, in Syria, and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandments. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. All right? That ye abstain from meats offered unto idols. You have Paul writing about it in Corinthians. And from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. And Jerusalem put some ordinances on these churches, these Gentiles that had been saved. You understand? Don't eat meats offered to idols or blood or anything strangled and all this. So they was under ordinances, commandments of men. Look in Acts chapter 21. Acts 21. James talking again in Acts 21. Notice in verse 25. Let me go back and read verse 24. Them take, purify thyself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walketh orderly and keep the law. As touching, verse 25, here it is, as touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. And so Paul takes them, goes in there, and makes a vow to them. Now listen to me. What about these Gentiles that he's talking about, that they didn't put ordinances on them? No, look back with me in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. In Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis, they came unto Thessalonica and were in the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. So he goes into the synagogues. In the synagogues, there are Jews, Jewish proselytes, and them that fear God. A proselyte was a Gentile that was circumcised and committed unto the ordinances of Judaism, and was a Judaizer. He was as a Jew, so to speak. And there are Gentiles in there, and them that fear God in them synagogues. And Paul begins to preach unto these people, and them Gentiles hear and believe. I believe it is in Acts chapter, let's see, Come back to Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. In Acts 13 verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And so they go into these synagogues, and they preach the word of God unto these synagogues. Come down to verse 16, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. And there, them that fear God, come to verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Israel, Abraham, and whosoever among you that fear God is this to you the word of this salvation sent. Folks, no doubt about it. Look in verse 42. In verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogues, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next what? Sabbath. Where did them Gentiles come from? In the synagogue. So you have Paul in his early ministry going into the synagogue. He's preaching the gospel of Christ in the synagogues, and he's preaching to them that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that Jesus Christ was the Lord and the Son of God, and that Jesus Christ is the only way you can get saved, and it's not by the works of the law or anything like that. And he's preaching unto these people in there the message of grace. And when they receive that, they become the body. They're in the body. When they receive Christ as their Savior, just like you, they would be saved and baptized into that body. Everybody clear on that? But those Ephesians who he's writing to, they was not the Gentiles that was in the synagogue. The Gentiles that was in the synagogue, they had to watch what they eat. But them Ephesians that Paul's writing to, they wouldn't have cared if something been offered to an idol. If they was hungry, they'd eat it. They wouldn't have cared one bit. So look back in Ephesians now. So the ordinance is, the law and the things that was contained in the ordinances that was put upon the Jew from the Jewish church, you see, it's almost like that the Jewish church over there, Peter, James, and them still had a little control over the body of Christ, and they put ordinances on them. But folks, once Israel became, lo am I, not my people, and the dispensation of grace, there is no ordinances for you to follow today. In fact, before we read in Ephesians, turn to Colossians. And you'd be wrong if you followed ordinances. In Colossians, notice what he said. Verse 18. Well, let me read verse 10. And ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. Come down with me to verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And because of the cross, because of the things, the law, the ordinances, the things that was contrary to us, that we by nature didn't know nothing about, and the cross took it out of the way, you have verse 7:16. Because of that, let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of a new moons, or of the Sabbath days. There is none of that stuff, which are a shadow of things to come, the kingdom. In the kingdom there'll be Sabbath days. In the kingdom there'll be certain meats that you can't, and certain drink offerings in the kingdom. And you find the law of the kingdom in Matthew 5, 6, 7. In that millennial kingdom on this earth, yes, they will be Sabbath days. But today, in the day of grace, they are no Sabbath days, no holy days. Every day is a day of grace. People just, they just don't. That religion has got claws as long as, and they got them drove into people and they can't get shaken off. And religion is the most evil thing on this earth. You know what evil is? Evil is malice and forethought. Evil is acts and deeds that hurt people. We say that's an evil man because he hurts people. He has malice in his heart, and he's an evil being because he brings harm and hurt unto his fellow man. You know the most evil thing on this earth is religion. It's damning more souls than all the honky-tonks put together in this world. They stand up and you say, well, and people wonder why I get upset over religion. That's why. People trust in their religion and in their ordinance keeping and what they do in their sacraments and all of that, instead of trusting what Jesus Christ did on the cross for them. Jesus Christ died for you. And God Almighty forgave you of all of your sins, so don't let nobody judge you. That's bring you into judgment, condemnation. Let them condemn you. Then he said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? If you done died with the Lord Jesus Christ, and all them ordinances was nailed to his cross, which the Bible says they was, then why are you subject to them? Then he goes on. Here they are. Touch not. Taste not. Handle not. Which all are to perish with the using. Now notice, after the commandments and doctrines of what? Men. Most of the ordinances today is nothing but traditions. And things like that. Now why are you saying all this? Well, we'll go back to Ephesians. The body of Christ is not at peace with one another. We have barriers in the body of Christ that keep from us from having peace with our fellow members of that body. all of the body. I don't care where they're at. I don't care if they've trusted Christ as their Savior. They're being baptized into that body. They're in the body of Christ. You understand? If you've trusted Christ, you're in the body of Christ. You can't get out of the body of Christ. You can't change the body of Christ. You're in the body of Christ, whether you're a Catholic, Mormon, whatever. I don't care, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. It doesn't matter. If you've trusted Christ, you're in the body of Christ. The problem is, are you with peace with the other members of the body of Christ? Or are you at difference with the other members of the body of Christ? Back in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. Now here's the thing that Paul's writing about. You have the wall. And so we put the wall up here. On one side you have these Gentiles over here that was saved in the synagogues in Paul's early ministry when he'd go in synagogue of the Jews. And so some of the Jews was in here, and of course they believed in the law and all of this, and they had ordinances that they would follow over here. And so in these ordinances and the law and everything else, they realized the law didn't have nothing to do with their salvation, but they put ordinances on them. So they'd keep these ordinances and feel pretty good about it. You know, that's the way people are. If they're doing a little something, they feel pretty good about it. That's why they just can't accept salvation by grace through faith plus nothing. They say, well, man, there ought to be more to it than that. I mean, I need to do something. Now, is there nothing that I can do? Nope, if you help God one bit, He won't touch you. But people wants to do something. So they're over here. Ordinances they got to keep and everything. Well, then you have these there, the Ephesus. There was the worshipers of Diana over there. They didn't care about anything. Meats over here. I mean, they wouldn't eat certain meats over here. These people over here didn't eat anything. Didn't eat them first. These are blood. They ain't caring about no blood, no meats, no whether it was strangled, shot, or bored to death. It didn't matter to them. If they was hungry, they'd eat it. So you could have real problems. See, these over here would be more spiritual than these over here. I don't eat things offered to idols over here. Did you see that over there? He went in there and they sacrificed that lamb to Jupiter, and he just sat down there and pulled a leg of lamb off and began to eat it. Why, that old hypocrite, eh? That's not peace. Folks, don't you see that's the way it is today? People, they got ordinances today that religion has built up and passed on, and traditions and commandments, and these people that keep them, they think they're closer to God than the ones that don't, and they don't have peace. And don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I know some people. They wouldn't drink coffee or tea or nothing. Matter of fact, I know they called tea Baptist beer. Well, they had caffeine in it. They wouldn't sit down and watch a Andy Griffin show on television, let alone a movie. Wouldn't watch that. You know what they're doing? They're building up a wall between now the rest of the body of Christ. Our fellowship is not in our works. Our fellowship is in what Christ did for us. And today, people, there's still a wall. We don't have to worry about the meats. But you see, when Israel was took away and Paul at the when he writes to Ephesus, he says that that body, that wall that separated you from the rest of the body, us over here, was contained in ordinances and the law. It's been took out of the way. And now there's peace in that body. And now you can have peace in that body. And he brought them together and put them together, so making peace. So what's religion do? It builds up the walls again. By the way, they become, when they're saved and they're in the body of Christ, they lose their nationality, neither Jew nor Greek. But see, here we go again with the walls. You got a wall here, a little old compartment over here. Well, these is independent Baptist. Up here you got another little old compartment. Here's the Methodist. Up here you got another little old compartment, and anything you want, Presbyterians up here. Over here you got all of these, and every one of them thinks because of their doctrine they're more closer to God than anybody else. Well, I ain't fellowshipping with these over here, and I ain't going up there to that. Well, they need to get right with God. And then here you have down here, you got the independents over here, and over here you got the Southerns, the Southern Baptists. Over here you got the hard shell Baptists. Over here you got the primitive Baptist. I mean, on and on. Oh, I don't want to forget the Northerner. You realize they all believe different? Some of these in here believe you got to say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be baptized. Others said, nope, that's the wrong mode. You got to say, in the name of the Lord. Others, I mean, just on and on. These over here won't have nothing to do with them. Primitive, well, you got to wash some feet. Y'all ain't spiritual. Y'all won't ever have no foot washing. Brother, there ain't no peace. But why? Denominations. Denominations is the walls today that separate and that cause a disunity in the body of Christ. That's why we're Charity Bible Church. You know what God said to do? He said to come out from among this mess. What he said. And leave it. You know when the rapture takes place? There's still going to be these left here. Say, you mean there's probably lost people come here all the time. You just won't get saved. Just coming here don't save you. And all of these things up here. He said to come out from among them. We're to have be at peace one with another in the body. Let me turn with me right, and my time's about gone, but look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, Corinthians was the most carnal church in the Bible, New Testament. And yet they thought they was the most spiritual. They did. Most time people think they're spiritual. It's carnal, brother. I was listening to a tape of a guy that said, he was up there and he said, the pastor asked me if I needed anything. It's the way he talked. The pastor asked me if I needed anything, and I tell you, I told him I needed more of the Holy Ghost. I hit the off button, throw the tape over in the corner. I said, I ain't listening to some. That's the most carnal statement you could have. I need more of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God needed more of Him. There ain't no such thing as getting more of the Spirit of God. Christ in you. He don't come partly. He comes all the way. And look at these things about the carnal Christians. He said in verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Well, what's he talking about? Talking about spiritual gifts, isn't he? You know what these people did? They worshiped the gifts. And them gifts became their idols. Look in the last verse of chapter 12. "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." They were coveting them gifts. Hang on there. Hang on to Corinthians. Turn over to Colossians. Look in verse 5, the last part of verse 5. "And covetousness, which is" what? "Idolatry." They were coveting in these Corinthians, and they thought they were so much spiritual. Look with me in verse. I don't have time to read all of the passage, but he's talking about the body of Christ. Look in verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Verse 27. "Now ye are the body of Christ, members in particular." So he's talking about the body of Christ. Now look back in verse 25, "that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." And that word schism is divisions. God does not want divisions in the body of Christ. And the divisions is there because man put them there. We are to be in unity. We are to be, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one hope. You're called into one calling in the body of Christ. We are to be in unity as one body. If your hand is not in unity with the head, it's not going to perform what the hand should do. The body of Christ is that way today. Look in verse 22. I see verse 23. "And those members..." Well, it's just hard not to read verse 22. "Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." The ones we don't even count is necessary. He said, "those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God tempered the body together, having given given more abundant honor to that part which like that there should be no schism, divisions in the body." You know what that word comely is? That's the handsome, good-looking member. And the uncomely one is the ugly one that people wouldn't want to have nothing to do with. And God says they're all necessary. And our fellowship is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our unity is in Him. Turn back to the book of Ephesians and look in chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what he said in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, that's the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Folks, as long as you have this down here dividing everybody out, you will not be in unity in that body. And so at the judgment seat of Christ, God Almighty is going to knock off the rough edges of everything. And I don't want nothing on me that's going to burn off at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you? And I don't want my works going up in smoke and the Lord saying I've done more to divide the body. I'm not trying to divide the body. I'm trying to get the body in unity with this Bible. And this Bible tells me that Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles and he magnified his office. And if Paul magnified his office, then it's my duty to magnify his office. And he said, be ye followers of me even as I am of Christ. And the only way the body of Christ can follow the Lord Jesus Christ is through the doctrine given by the apostle Paul. And that's the only way we can have unity. And light is knowledge. Now think about that story when Paul was at long preaching in the book of Acts. He's up there in that upper third loft. Isn't that something? Third loft, third heaven. And the Bible said there's much light, many lights up there where Paul was at. After Paul was long preaching, young man sitting in the window fell asleep like some of you do. And when he fell asleep, he fell out of the window. And no doubt he broke his neck. Paul goes down there and brings him back to life. He fell from the light into darkness after long preaching. And the only person that could bring him back, and he brought him back up there and fellowship to the breaking of day. Folks, don't you see the type there? The dispensation of grace has been preaching longer than any dispensation in the Bible. In Paul, we've been preaching Paul's gospel longer than anything else. And people, the church, the body of Christ, has gotten away from Paul where the light is. And the only way that they'll ever get light is to come back to Paul and get back in the Word of God rightly divided. Until that happens, there'll not be no revival. So what are we doing? And the more we reject, the further in idolatry we go. And the more the mystery of iniquity grows. God said, come out from that mess and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you. Now, He received me for my salvation through Christ. When He's talking about receiving you, He's talking about receiving you as a workman. There's a lot of people that spent their whole life in the denominational system and gave thousands of dollars to that denominational system, and they're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ to see it go up in smoke. Because they gave to a system that caused division in the body of Christ, the alienated and broke the unity, and we are to endeavor to keep that unity that the Spirit of God has already made in that body. Thanks for being here, and you can go.